how many people actually got a response? Just put your hand up and keep your hand up if you've got a response. Yeah, I haven't got mine back yet.
And I also know Liz got a response.
Liz got a response as well, yep. And Henry, you got a response, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, keep your hand up. I want hands up so we know. If any of your responses were negative at all, then if you could keep your hand raised up. But if they were generally positive or just thank you or okay, or then you can put your hands down. So everybody had some kind of positive response. And nobody's had a negative response. And the reason that we do this is because we just want to try to do this job of trying to connect with people. Just making this sense of, I know God loves you. My job is to be this bridge between God who loves you and your life, which you haven't yet worked out that he loves you. And I'm just going to do little things that are going to make this connection. And so we do something as simple as that. And some people will actually, when that happens, be really moved by it. I know Henry, you had a message that said that you something about him being really...
There
was a phrase in it that...
Amazed that I was actually thinking of him.
Yeah.
Just so grateful, yeah.
And yet we're nervous about sending it to them. We're going, I wonder how this is going to be.
I'm genuinely touched.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely touched. Just and actually, Henry has to confess, he didn't even really mean to send it to him.
When I put in the name of the other person, it didn't come up, but this chap came up under P, and I thought, oh, he's under
alcohol. So this guy gets genuinely touched, and Henry didn't even really mean to genuinely touch him. So... doing this kind of stuff, really, it's not as scary as we make it out. And because God is present in it all, it can be complete, it can be really profound. And God really can use us to touch other people and to draw them closer to knowing him. So I just want to do one final thing. And then there weren't any questions in the box. But I'm going to give you a chance to ask questions in a minute, and so we'll get a chance to see if we can formulate some questions. But if we go on to the final slide, that'd be great. Is there another one on there? I think there's one more, isn't there? Yeah, it just freezes for a moment, yep. I want to say something about how all of this works with an ongoing relationship and friendship that we're, because as I said, people don't come to faith just overnight. So because you've sent them a text saying that you're praying for them, doesn't mean that they're immediately going to repent of their sins and say, I want to come to know Jesus. And so we then have to do the job of walking with people and actually just loving them and just having a genuine friendship with them. And so what happens in Jesus' life is that he had different ways of responding to different people. To some people, he brought incredible challenge to them. And to some people, he was just invitational and encouraging. And in a long-term relationship with a friend or a family member, there are times for you to just walk alongside them, praying for them. There are times of just being invitational and friendly, and then there are times to bring a bit of challenge. And the tricky part of the job is trying to work out what to do. My instinct is that we're going to be weakest on the challenge bits. So I think a narrative goes like this in our minds. I don't want to offend my friend by overly imposing my faith on them. And the result is that we then do nothing. Now, I've met most of you today, And I just want to tell you, you're not offensive people. So that's really good news for you today, is that you're not offensive. You're a million miles away from being offensive. I think you'd have to work really hard to be offensive. And yet the narrative in our mind is, oh my goodness, I have to be really careful that I don't offend somebody with my faith. And so I want to encourage you that at times you're going to have to do some stuff that actually just pushes the agenda, just begins to bring a bit of challenge to people about what they're going to do about Jesus. And that's where I think we really struggle. So on the left-hand side with the invitation, over a period of time with our friends, we're saying, we're just wanting to be friends. We're going to just share life with them, include them in some really easy things at the life of the church. So a carol service, allow them to come along to that. Maybe you've got some kind of Christmas party or something going on that's just really easy for them to feel part of the church community.
John, can I just interrupt you? There's a lot of us, a mighty nightmare, trying to copy this down. Can you send this?
Oh yeah, you can have this. Yeah, I'll send it to Rob, yeah. Being available to them, meeting up regularly, sharing your life with them so they see God within you in different ways, but nothing really overt. Introducing them to your friends who are Christians so that they build a wider friendship group within the church. Being sort of intentional about having people round for meals and then them having a friend from church around and then them coming round. But it's all just invitational and allowing them to serve, allowing them to join in with things where you need their help. And that's what it says in Luke 10. It says, let them cook you a meal, let them host you. And it's a really affirming thing to actually say to somebody, oh, could you help me? But all of that is really gentle and just consistently loving. And so I've got a friend of mine called Tony. And I met him through a mutual friend. We're both completely sports mad. I'm a season ticket holder at Leicester City Football Club with my daughter, Alice, and we have great daddy-daughter time, but every now and again, her social life or my work means that one of us can't go, and so we invite other people to come. And I met this guy through a mutual friend, and I said to Tony, do you want to come to the football? Because we were just talking football non-stop when we met. And so he came to the football, and then we just started to go and watch football in the pub together and stuff like that. And we've built a friendship over time. And that was really good. And he obviously knows that I'm a vicar, and so some of that means it's easier for him to know that, you know, God's important to me. But there wasn't any overt evangelism. I'd asked to pray for him and just a little bit, but it was really... But then I realised that we'd been friends for a while and we hadn't really done very much which had challenged Tony to think about Jesus. And so I thought, I'm going to do something. And so I said to him, how about next time we meet up, we talk about faith and life and what that might mean and what you really think about life and what I really think about life. And, you know, I do this with a number of guys where we'll just share more deeply and just talk about real stuff rather than just sports and everything, which we could do for the rest of our lives. But what do you think? Now, I thought that he was going to laugh at me. Because let me describe who Tony is. He is 6'6". He used to be on the British Taekwondo team. He was a semi-professional footballer. He is the managing director of a multi-million pound manufacturing company. He is in a salsa band, and so he's a very talented guitarist. And so you look at him and you go, you are just amazing as a human being, and you won't want anything I've got to offer you in terms of Jesus and faith. So I asked him this question, and his response to me was really, what he said to me was, John, if you think that you'd want to do that with me, then I'm really touched by that, and there isn't really anybody else that I talk about that kind of stuff with, And so if you ever want to do that, just let me know and I'll be there. And the way he said it was really saying, I'm lonely.
Yeah.
I don't have anybody to talk about at that level in my life. And so we now regularly meet up. And so when he bought a new house and he did his house up, and again, it's absolutely amazing. He had a party, had about 100 people there. He had all of his family from all over the country there. And he said to me when I turned up at the party, he said, would you bless my house in front of all of my family? And so we hadn't planned this. And I just turned up and I said, yeah, sure. And he gets up and he says, this is my friend John, and he's the vicar of the church, and I really want God's blessing on my house and on my family. And so John's going to pray a prayer. And I prayed a prayer and I blessed his house. Now, that only happened because I took a risk. And I went from just invitation and talking sport, which I honestly could do for the whole of my life and I'd be very happy, to, I want to just challenge him, do you want to talk about Jesus? And then he went to, and now we pray together regularly. He's not yet a Christian, but this is what he said to me about 2 months ago. He said, why hasn't it happened yet, John? I said, what do you mean, why hasn't it happened? He said, why am I not a Christian yet? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I thought it would have just happened by now. And I said, are you saying that you want to be? He says, yeah, I do, I want to be. I said, well, you could. He said, yeah, but I can't unless I really know that it's the right thing to do. So he's now really saying, I want to be a Christian, but I want to know that it is the real and the right thing to do. And so I said, you pray and ask God to show himself to you, and he will. And he's now reading some passages from the Gospels, and we're going to meet up and talk about that. But I'm not pushing it hard. Because I don't think it's for me to try and force. I think it's for God to know how to do this, and we're going to work that out. So why am I telling you that story? I'm telling you that story because I think we're good on the invitation stuff and the friendship stuff. And I think that offering to pray for somebody and offering to pray over a text or to say prayers when you hear about a need and all of that, that's all part of the general, I'm making a connection, but I'm just sharing life and inviting. At some point on their journey, and you have to judge this, you have to do a little bit of challenge. And here's some things that you might want to do in terms of challenge. Talking about faith, I think that, and we're going to do something about that, is about sharing our stories or sharing Bible stories. Giving people some content to read or to listen to. So I've given Tony a set of CDs that he travels with work, and so he can put the CDs in his car and he can listen to some stuff about faith. I've lent him a book about Bible stories now that he's reading and that we're going to talk about. So that works. And we're not going to get on to this today because I don't think we're yet at that stage. We then have to know how to explain the gospel and lead somebody to know Jesus if we're going to do the job. Now, that may sound really scary, but it really is possible. But I don't think we're going to have time to do that training. But what I want us to do now is I want us to think about how we would tell our story. And we're going to do a little bit of role play again. So everybody smile and say, woo, we're going to do role play. Some of you may never know a time in your life when you did not go to church. That's absolutely fine. But there will be a time for all of us in our life where faith became really real somehow. And so you can either say, like me, that I was an absolute rebel and then I met Jesus and he turned my life around. Or you can say, do you know, I've always been going to church, but it wasn't always really my faith. And there was a time when it really became my faith and Jesus really made a difference. And so I want you to, if you've got a pen and paper, just write three phrases down, okay? And the first phrase is, there was a time in my life. And under that heading, you're going to somehow come up with a summary statement of what life was like either before you became a Christian or before faith became really real and personal for you. And then the second bit is you're going to say, and it can be Jesus did this, or then I went on an Alpha course, or was talking to Lynn and Gary, then I went to the Billy Graham mission, and this guy explained about Jesus, and I had just a moment where I said, that's what I want in my life, or whatever that is. And then the final phrase is, and the difference Jesus has made to my life is that now I've got purpose, or now I know that God is always with me, whatever that might be. And I want you to come up with just some short statements under each of those titles that make sense of what God has done in your life. But you have to be able to do all of this in under 2 minutes. So again, I know I said before you have to pray short prayers. When you're telling people about what God has done, you have to just do it really succinctly, because they don't want a lecture from you. They may have asked you, do you know, why are you a Christian? And they don't want everything all at once. They're just interested in something that's happened in your life, and they just want something really simple. So you have to be able to do it in under 2 minutes. And in a moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get you to pair up with somebody else that you don't know very well. Thank you very much, Leah. That was great. You're going to tell each other these stories. And I'm going to put you on the clock. So I'm going to put 2 minutes, and you can't go beyond 2 minutes. So you've got a few minutes now to prepare what you want to say. There was a time in my life, then whatever happened at the point when Jesus really became real for you. And the difference that Jesus has made is, and you then tell that. So maybe 5 minutes to prepare that. I'll keep checking if people need any more time. We may not need that much time. And then we're going to get into pairs and share that together. All okay then, great. So, if you could find somebody that you're going to share with that you don't know particularly well, and particularly you wouldn't know their story of their faith, then that would be great. Don't start sharing yet, because I'm going to start you on a stopwatch, and then we're going to give you 2 minutes. Okay, so find your people to share with. Hey! So, who struggles to fit in with the 2 minutes? No? You did all right, good. Well done, Gary. Yes, it's a challenge. Some of us will be people of more words than others. My challenge is always to keep it into 2 minutes, just a little. My daughter's just gone to university and she's joined a new church. I said, what's it like, Beth? And she said, oh, it's just like Holy Trinity in Leicester, just a bit more concise, Dad. So I'm just nailed by my daughter for my long-windedness. The reason why we rehearse it is because when the moment comes, we want to do a good job, and we want to have just done the best we can. Now, we don't rehearse it in order to say it the same way every time, because you might want to just say something different. You don't rehearse it because that's the only thing you'll ever say, because actually, I think quite often, a more relevant testimony is when somebody shares, do you know, I'm really stressed about, I don't know, my daughter, and I'm really worried about her. And you've got a similar story in your life when there was a really stressful time in your life. And so instead of telling your testimony of how you came to faith, what you say is, oh, do you know, there was a time in my life when I was really stressed and I prayed about that, or somebody prayed for me and I found that just God gave me peace. Could I pray for you? And so you're genuinely loving that person and saying what would be helpful, but it can be really useful to have this kind of story up your sleeve in case people say, so why are you a Christian? Or why do you go to church? Which is often a way that they might more likely to express it. And you can go, okay, so there was a time in life when I didn't, or when I was just going to church, but I was just going through the motions. And what it's like now is this, because of what Jesus did. Don't worry about not having a really interesting story. Too often the conversion stories are the great dramatic ones. Janet and I were talking about this. And we can even leave people feeling that if they start to follow Jesus, their experience of conversion is somehow substandard because they haven't had this dramatic life-changing experience on day one that they've heard about from this great evangelistic preacher who's had a dramatic conversion. So your story is interesting because they are your friend. So they're interested in your story because of you. And that's why this is powerful. Your story is powerful and interesting because they are interested in you. But moving from invitation to challenge is not easy in a long-term friendship. And if you've had a long-term friendship with somebody and you've never said anything about Jesus to them, it is so hard to introduce that. Because it feels almost like against the grain of your friendship. That they've always known that you go to church, but you've never spoken about it. And so there will come a time when I think if we're to be what Jesus said we are, which is witnesses for him, and that the Holy Spirit is sent to give us those moments where we're able to say what we need to say and defend our faith at times, then we're going to have to say something. And we're all really different, and so some of us are really talkative and some of us are really able to defend the faith and argue apologetically and all of those kind of things. So we're all really different, but we can all tell our own story. And so whatever our gifts and our background is, you can tell that story to somebody and God could use it powerfully. And they can't argue with it. So that's exactly it. They can't argue with it. And actually, that's so helpful, Bob, because all of the things that I recommend in terms of how we share faith are designed to avoid arguments and avoid setting you up for a moment where actually you can't answer the question that you've just almost set yourself up to have to answer. Because you tell your story and they can't argue with it. It's your story. And if you offer to pray for them, you're not trying to argue them into the kingdom. And then what I recommend in the book, and you can read this, is if they want to follow up and they want to think about faith, then I recommend just reading gospel stories with them and asking them what they think of Jesus. Because again, it's not answering the question about science and faith. It's not answering the question about, you know, what about dinosaurs and the creation story and whatever else people ask these days. It's just saying, what do you think of Jesus? And it's really easy just to read a Bible passage and discover God speaks through his word. So if you, as you practice this story, if you were at Holy Trinity now and we were doing one of our training sessions, I would say to you, okay, think about who you would like to tell that story to. And then you would come up with a name of that person. And next week, when we meet, I will ask you, did you share your story with that person? And some of us will have shared, and some of us won't. And then I would ask you, why? Why didn't you share? And then we would explore together what the issues are. Because we're all on a journey. This isn't like we're going to fix this on day one and we're going to immediately be able to do all of this. There's a journey in this for all of us, and some of us are in different places. And so we would go on a supportive journey together of accountability in which I would be supporting you to say, you want to share with this person. You chose the person. I didn't choose the person. And now you're telling me you can't share with them. Let's talk about why. And then we'll talk about how to do that. And then I'll pray for you. And then we'll see how that gets on. But you're really glad that you aren't in Holy Trinity, but you're here in Caistre and Holy Cross, and so you won't be seeing me next week. But I'd really encourage you to think about who you could share that with and pray that God would give you the courage to do it and that he would give you the opportunity to do it and that he would prepare the other person's heart. So here's two ways that you could decide to share this with your friend. The first one is to say literally this phrase, do you know, I was at my church on Saturday and we were on this training day and they gave me some homework. Honestly, people have done that and it's worked. You could be as uncommitted to the process as that and it will work. Or you could say this, you know, I realise that, you know, we see each other a lot and I really value our friendship. But what I've realised is I've never ever told you the most important thing, or I've never ever told you something that's really important to me. And that's how I started to be a Christian or to really follow Jesus, because I haven't always done that. And I wondered, could I share that with you? And if they're your friend, they won't say no. So the final thing on this, and then I'm going to get you to see if you can come up with a few questions before we finish. The final thing on this is, once you've shared your faith or your story, once you've offered to pray for somebody, like I said earlier today, ask them a question. Because otherwise, you get to the end of your little sharing, and you go, okay, what on earth am I going to do now? Or there you go, that's my story, and the other person said, oh, thanks very much. But you could decide what question you want to ask them, which is something like, have you ever thought about God or faith? Or do you feel near or far from God in your life at the moment? Or what did you think of my story? But just ask them a question and give them a chance to show what God is doing in their heart. Because the whole point of this is not to try and bash people into the kingdom and try to force them, but it's to try and connect with them and see what God's doing. And then if they show that they are open to faith and God's preparing them to know him, then you know that now. One illustration I give is, are they a cockroach or a moth? When the light shines, those two insects behave very differently. The cockroach runs for cover. The moth flies towards the light. You share your story, and your friend runs for cover, going, don't ever tell me that, I'm not interested. They make it really clear that that made them feel a bit uncomfortable. Then you know, okay, that's okay. We're not going to try that again for a while. But if they go, wow, like my friend Chris in the coffee shop, that's what I want. Then you then know, okay, this is a God-prepared person. I can be much more open with my faith now. I can say, do you want to meet up? Do you want to, what questions do you have about God? What can I help with? Would you like to come to church? Whatever it might be that's the next step in terms of the challenge. So all you're looking for is their response that teaches you how you can then love them and serve them best. Okay, so you can decide how you want to respond to all of that, but I'd encourage you to have a person, pray that God would prepare them, pray for an opportunity and that God would give you boldness, and then go and try and share your story with them and see what happens. Who knows what God might do? In your pairs or where you are, talk to the other person and just ask them how they're doing with all of this, what it's making them think about, and see if you can come up with a question that you'd like answered before we go home. And then we're going to do 15 minutes, and then I think we'll finish the session at 3. Okay. And then we can have coffee or whatever. if we need to. Or if there are loads of questions, we might need to run slightly past that, but that's fine. Okay, so a couple of minutes just to share with each other and see if you've got a question that you'd like to ask. Any questions that anybody would like to ask? Yeah, Janet. Yep.
Which is a different dynamic, and they already probably know a certain amount of our story, or think they do. And it's really difficult to put a family.
Really difficult. Fantastic question. Thank you, Janet. So, did you hear that over this side? Yep. So, what do we do with family members who know our story, who we long for them to be saved and to know Jesus? But actually, we can't just keep bashing them over the head with a story and try and force it. So I think that the first thing that I'm looking to do if I have got an unsaved family member is I'm praying every day for them. And it's really hard to sustain that. And I encourage you to find somebody that will keep you going in that. Because I think it's really hard to keep praying those prayers. And that's my experience in terms of praying for my wife's brothers and seeing what we can do for that. So that's the first thing. In those prayers, the second thing I'm praying for is I'm praying for somebody else to come and do the job. Now, here's the challenge, okay? So I'm going to just turn this back on you from today, which is, I want you to imagine that you are living next to somebody whose family members are praying for them to come to know Jesus. And that, would you want them to meet you? Are you somebody that can do that job for God? Because we're praying for our unsaved family members and we're praying for somebody else to come and do that job. But if you're praying that, don't you pray that prayer and not be willing to do it for somebody else. Okay? So I think that it is completely unjustifiable to pray that for your family member and not be willing to do it for somebody else. And that's why we've got to do this, friends, because there will be people out there that are praying for people that are connected with your life. And so we have to be ready to do the job for them, just like we're praying for somebody, God, to bring somebody else who's a Christian into our family members' lives. And the final thing I'd say is that with family members, we have to generally, day by day, week by week, year by year, live as godly a life as we can, as natural a Christian life as we can, in a way that doesn't try to impose it on people, but equally isn't silenced, but just is naturally saying, oh, I was praying for you in that, how did that go? It's not being impositional, but it's just being yourself, authentically yourself. And every now and again, take a risk. So I'll give you a great example of that. So we're praying for my wife Bridget's brothers to know Jesus. We went to her father's 80th birthday celebrations, and we went to a place called Moor Park. It's a golf club in Hertfordshire near Chorley Wood. It's incredibly posh. It's got tapestries on the walls that the Tate Modern borrow in order to exhibit. It's a stately home for a golf club. It's an amazing place. He's a city banker. He still is a city banker, age 80. But he's a wonderful Christian man. He does. He preaches as a lay preacher, and he also, for a long time, ran the Pathfinder group in his Sunday, on a Sunday in his church. And then he'd go and be an incredible city banker Monday to Friday, and he's got an OBE and all kinds of stuff. An amazing guy. But a couple of his sons don't know Jesus. He's got some cousins, and some of them don't know Jesus, and some nephews. He gets up, he says, thank you so much for coming and being here today. Thank you for sharing my day. It's amazing to have this as a family. But I'd like to tell you the most important thing in my life. And he then tells the story and he says, age 17, Jesus Christ came into my life. And he did this and this and this for me. And if I could tell you anything about this life and how to live this life, I would encourage you to follow him. But he didn't just do it. He's like weeping as he's doing this. And it's not like neat and tidy. There's snot coming out of his mouth. And it's pouring down his face. And he's saying, I love Jesus Christ and I long for you to love him. And he's in Moor Park. Everybody in their best clothes. But he takes that moment to risk it and say, I long for you to know Jesus. So, it's a long answer, Janet, but I would say pray and help somebody pray for, with you to support you in that. Pray for somebody else to come and do the job. Live as best life you can, but don't be under pressure that actually their salvation is because you have to live a perfect life. I actually think that warts and all stuff actually enables people to feel that they could be a Christian too, because otherwise if it looks too perfect, they think it's out of reach for me. So be real. I really think authenticity is what people are looking for. And every now and again, take a risk, which is, do you know, I'd love you to come to church today on Christmas Day, because I'd love my family to be with me in church. If it's not a difficult relationship, most people will say, yes, I'll come to that. And who knows what God might do in that service. Or on a birthday celebration, or whatever it might be, take a risk. So I hope that's put you spot on. They're the hardest ones. And you can't just tell a testimony and then and say, would you like to meet up? Because they know the story. Yeah. Don't stop praying. But I really appreciate your honesty, because it's so hard to keep praying. And in the long-term prayers, the other thing I've learned to do is to say, okay, God, I'm bored of praying. Would you tell me what to pray? I need to know something different to pray. What do I need to pray now? What's going to be the difference now? What? And so now he's heard that. Yeah, but then I'm all over that with prayer. I'm going, Lord, thank you for that. Don't let him forget that. Don't let him let that seed fall to the ground. Put it in his heart. Stir it up. Bother him with it. That's what I'm praying.
And I can actually testify that somebody gave me the wrong time before they were somebody helped me. So you can take your hands off and let God do.
Yeah, exactly. Because actually we can get in the way. So just praying at the background is, and then let God do his thing. Yeah. Any other questions?
Yes, the $64,000 question is, how does this church attract new members in your church? With an aging population and the desperate need to do this, and it's a crucial question.
Okay, so I was having a discussion with the other Brian earlier on a little bit about this. And I said at the beginning that missional church and missional people is when you begin to get the movement. And on this thing here, it's what you invite people to. I think we often get hung up on the fact that the biggest barrier is church. But what I'm saying actually is, in the model in which Jesus says, go and make disciples, all of this, a lot of this can happen outside of church. And so quite often the tension becomes within church. We need to change church in order to get new members in. But actually, the people who are in church don't want church to change, because they're there because they enjoy it the way it is. And so there is a need to change and to allow things to grow and not to become stuck with how we do worship together. But I honestly think that I'm looking for opportunities to create something outside of Sunday that enables somebody to come for the next step for them. Now, I think some of that can be formal. So it might be that you as a church go on a journey like this and then say, our vision is that we would love to see some people come to the carol service or then to the Alpha course, or whatever. So it could be structural, or it can be really informal, in which you have just a dinner party in which you invite your friend who isn't yet a Christian and their partner to it, and then you invite a Christian and their partner to it, and you have a great evening together. And then you say, okay, do you want to meet up again? And then you might say to somebody, I'm hosting an evening in my home in which we're going to, there's loads of resources out there. There's films, there's something called Table Talk, where, you know, we had dinner last time. This time we're going to have dinner together, and I'm going to ask a meaty question, and we're going to talk just a bit greater depth. Or in your fellowship group, you can decide to do a social event that they come to as a first one. So I would encourage you, and in my book, I say that actually it is quite possible for you to lead somebody all the way to faith without you needing church to do it. That's my challenge to you, and you can do it. So I'll tell a final story from Leicester. Helen is, again, one of these timid people, wouldn't say boo to a goose. She has a vision for reaching the mums of the special needs children who she meets because she's got a Down syndrome daughter. And they meet through various networks. And so she says to these women, I've been praying for you, and I've been praying for your children, and I don't know if you'd like to meet up sometime just to talk about faith. Out of all of this training, so we've done all of this training, she gets to this point where she goes, okay, I now need to do something outside of church to try and help them go on their next step of faith. And they now meet once a month in a coffee shop, and they read a Bible story together. And one of those women have now become Christians, and she was in church 2 weeks ago, and I had the privilege of praying with her when she came to church. But Helen did the whole job. But she also met with her neighbour, Jean, who has got failing sight, and she started to read Bible stories with Jean. Jean became a Christian through Helen reading the Bible with her. And then I said to Helen, you have to teach Jean how to tell other people about Jesus now. And so she went to Jean and she says to me, I don't think this will work, John. Yeah. And I said, well, let's just see. You've got to make a disciple, and you've got to teach her how to make other disciples. So let's start to teach her to do that. She goes to Jean. She said, how would you feel about, now you've come to know Jesus, you telling other people about Jesus? Jean says, well, of course, I already do that. He's wonderful. He's changed my life. And so suddenly Helen has made a disciple who's now doing all of this stuff naturally because nobody's told her not to. And so this is how you begin to get movement. So you can do this without church. And what I was saying at the beginning of the day is our model is that church is the place we've got to get people in order to get them to become Christians. And I'm saying that's the old model. It's not that it doesn't work at all and that isn't how God might work, but that's an old model where it was enough to put a building and a priest and a congregation in a community and people would just come. And because that's our mindset, where we go, oh, that's how it's happened in the past, We're framed in that, and we can't escape it. And I'm saying now, my vision is that ordinary people like us have got the opportunity to share our faith with people and work with each other where we can, but ultimately to see if we can lead people to faith even outside of the church. And then when they've come to faith, integrate them into the life of the church, but that's when they want to be there. Whereas up until the point they come to faith, or very soon before they come to faith, they quite often don't want to be there because it doesn't make sense to them. Worship doesn't make sense to people who aren't there to worship. So I don't think it's either or, I think it's both and. The church does have to change and develop and to connect with people. But I'm challenging you to say, you can do this. But it requires each of us to do it. And so the most effective thing you can do is actually to keep encouraging each other to do this stuff. And then to see if there's anything you can do together informally to help people to come to faith, to take the next step. Run an alpha course in a home, or have a dinner party with a table talk question, or whatever it might be. And come back at me if that doesn't... What do you think about that? Does that seem impossible? Yes, and because of that, there will need to be some change within the life of the whole church and corporately.
Yeah.
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 But a very challenging one.
Yeah, it is. Well, that's what I said in the beginning bit, which is if Sunday is the destination, if the seating capacity is the whole thing that it's about, then that's an old model. It's not that we don't want people to come to faith, we do, but we need to focus on actually equipping people to connect with people outside. Mm-hmm. Now, you said that was in a city centre parish. So here we are in the lovely Norfolk countryside. And it's going to look different here. It's going to look really different. But if you start to have the mindset of, okay, Lord, you're sending us. What are we meant to do? How does this work here? Only you will work that out. So we have missional communities at Holy Trinity Leicester. That works for us. We're a city centre church, very eclectic gathered. So we're sending people out in missional communities. Once a month we say, don't come on a Sunday to church, have your own service in your missional community, wherever you are. And so we're actively trying to send people outwards. And they're connecting in all kinds of creative ways. But that works for us. I wouldn't recommend that, you know, here. So what would work here? That's your job, is to go, okay, with the creative Holy Spirit leading you, saying, I now have a heart open to you, God. What could I do to help people come closer to you? And do something informal. Have a go. See what might happen. But outside of the traditional Sunday structure is where I think God is really calling us to begin to work. Any other questions? Yeah.
And isn't that kind of like the church is people, not the building?
Yes.
Like going out to people, we're taking church to them.
So that is church. So I would say that Wednesday thing, that's church. So there's a communion service there now, there's a meal there, there's community, there's the gospel, there's worship. That's church now. But so I think that the whole thing with the Church of England, with the fresh expressions of church, is really saying exactly what you're saying, which is it's about people. It's not about a building or a liturgy. It's about connecting with people and forming a Christian community where they are. Yeah, it's not a question I can answer, Henry, because I'm not here. And that's why I said it has to be contextualised. And so that's the thing, is that there isn't a... I think what we're often after is we're looking for the silver bullet. This is the thing that will solve everything. I honestly think that where we are in the church at the moment is that we're in this time of transition in which God's trying to teach us new things. So he's trying to teach us how to reach people in new and creative ways. And we're realizing your description of the different Sundays is a description of a realization that we can't just do bog standard out of the box Anglican church and expect people to come. And that we live in a society where people join things on the basis of, does this feel like it's for me? And is this, do I connect with this? Is this helpful? Are my kids welcome? Am I welcome? Do I feel there are other people like me here? All those kind of things. And so you're expressing a response to that which is really positive. But I think that we're still in a time where we're having to learn how to do all of this. Because we haven't been this way before. We don't know what this is meant to look like. We don't even know what the ideal destination is in the future. And so we're finding our way. And so I genuinely think that to have a church that is willing to ask those questions and look for the right way forward is all that God is asking of us at this stage. And he always takes us from where we are to where he wants us to go next. And so where you are now is a place that God can meet with you and lead you forward. But it will be out of you, the people who live here, that you'll begin to work. Oh, I think this is what God is trying to teach us. So our journey at Holy Trinity has been one where all we've done is just tried to identify what the next thing that Jesus is trying to teach us. So all of this stuff came out of that moment of realization where I realized people weren't sharing their faith. And so we better do something about that. And so that's something we have to learn. And we've got lots of missional communities. It all looks really impressive. I could tell you 101 things that are wrong with Holy Trinity, where I'm trying to go, okay, Lord, what do we do next? Teach us what to do next. And, you know, I've got an inkling as to what we're meant to do next, but I'm not really confident about it because we haven't been this way before. So we're trying to work out what to do next. So that's a very unsatisfactory answer. But that's, I genuinely think that you're the only people that can answer that because you're here. I think we should stop there. So thank you very much for being here today. And I've really loved sharing with you. And there's such an atmosphere of openness and faith and a willingness to see what God might want to do and to call you forward. So I'll definitely be praying for you all. I hope to see you tomorrow. If you do want to carry on with what we've been talking about, you might want to take my book, well, not take it, but actually give me £7 for it, and you can write a cheque or cash. The reason I say it is because the only way that we've seen people begin to grow is not on a one-off day like this. These days have been important for us, but in an ongoing engagement with this. And there's a real danger for you that you'll learn some stuff today, it'll be positive, there'll be a little sense of growing in confidence, but your default setting will become go back to where you were. And so maybe the book might help to just, and it's got some Bible study and some group discussion things if you want to use it in small groups. So that's my encouragement, just to keep going with something from today.